listening to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. Real talk, real people, sincere conversations. Let's get into the podcast. Yo, welcome back to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. I am the poor Walter LeRae, and that is my dope co-host,
Angel.
Angel, season three, baby. How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling three times as nice.
Hey, man, let me borrow one of them nicest. Hey, wait a minute. That just reminded me. You remember the old Tom and Jerry?
Of course.
The Mises?
The Mises.
What's up, man? What's good? What's good? How was your little mini vacation? Too much is going on. I had to pull you off of vacation because I was like, man, right. What's going on in the world, brother?
Dude, I knew it was headed when I saw Kanye. I was like, yep.
Oh my God. Let's get into that, man. You know, cause seriously, this is a real serious topic. Mental health. We don't make fun of it. We know it's really serious in the world. I've been the first one to say some harsh words about Kanye, but man, when I saw Kanye, I was like, yeah, he's manic.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you know, it's obvious he doesn't have people around him to kind of, mental health is serious, but a good part of mental health is a support system. And you need people around you to kind of let you know, hey, man, you bugging. You need to work this out a different way. You need help. You need something that's going to help you constructively process this. Because if not, with your narcissistic attitude and having money and social media where everything you have to say, there's an audience, everything that you need to say doesn't need to be said. You know what I mean? And when you have that type of access and no checkpoints, dude, that's dangerous. That's so dangerous. And,
yeah, I'm glad you said narcissist's attitude as well, because he's straight, that ego be tripping, right?
Yeah, well, let's get down to it. There's some mental health issues, but there's also some egotistical issues that are present as well. This is why, when the first incident, when he went to TMZ and he said slavery was a choice. Ouch. And yeah. the thing that bothered me on social media is that you got these people who looking at this man's bank account, and because of the money and the own track that he was making, they were justifying what he was saying because everybody wants a part of this baller lifestyle. So they give him these passes because they categorize what he says in the realm of a genius. But what I see is a dude who is so broken that he's just, it's like a break. You know, you ever put a scratch record on a record player before?
Yes, sir.
How it plays out of sync. Mm-hmm. How it'll say this verse and then it'll skip to this verse and that's what Kanye's doing. He's out of sync right now, and he's been out of sync for a while.
Right. Well, yeah, I agree with you, and that's a good metaphor that you put on him. One thing I want to say, kudos for you, because the foundation is the support group, and like you said, it's obvious that he does not have a true support network that he can focus on and. You know, people who's going to, check them. You know what I'm saying? I have a support group with you and my family. People who's going to reach out and they're going to check you. They're going to say, oh, you bugging. Pull back, the reins and so forth. Hey, but Kanye is a great example that money don't solve your problems. Dude, it just put a magnifying glass right on you. Be like, right?
Dude, you can be a billion-dollar idiot. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh. Kudos to that one. Yeah, for real. That's real talk, for real. But, with the scope of the mental health part about it is, I don't focus on Kanye. I focus on the mental side of the game because, as black men, we hold a lot of things in. We don't really have an outlet. And we talked about that with the basic reset with the mental check-in in season two.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was very important. I was like, yo, we just had a subject about this. You know what I mean? Your real friends are going to tell you, yo, you bugging, you need to chill out. You know, I don't have yes men and yes women around me. I have people who's going to be like, yo, sit down. Right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's healthy, dude. That's really healthy because sometimes, man, you need that moment to walk away like, yo, was I really bugging? and you need that moment to kind of look at it from a different perspective, like, oh man, you know, I could have handled that differently. You know, that's important, man. That's really important.
Yeah, it's important to have, you know, but like you said before, and I don't want to steal your thunder. You said it's the support group. You know, we're not therapists. I do advise everyone who are going through some things to, you know, speak to people who are more qualified. But as a friend, there's nobody more qualified than a friend.
Man,
you know, a real friend is going to listen to you, you know, have an open ear and open heart and be able to, you know, you can speak freely and speak honestly and so forth and whatnot, and just say, yo, I'm bugging. You know, I can't get control of my mental thoughts and so forth. So, you know, what's up, man? But sometimes, you know, I've always thought the best remedy is like basic reset, man. Just don't worry. Let's check out of this. You know what I'm saying? Let's put our cell phones down. You know, let's pull up the control. Let's boot up. Let's do this. Or let's go shoot some basketball. Let's do something other than what you're doing to get you out of this funk. Because it's obviously a rut that you're in, you know what I mean? And so forth. And it's like, it plagues everybody. Kanye is not the only one in the world that is dealing with them. We're dealing with this. We are all dealing with it. I mean, we've been dealing with the coronavirus, the halfway quarantine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the economy, like there's people
uncertainties,
suffering
right?
Now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not, you know, domestic violence has went up since the quarantine. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't have the numbers. I'm sorry. I'm not a numbers guy. I leave that to Angel. Angel is the numbers guy. I'm the wordsmith. He's a wordsmith as well, but he's always fact checking the situation on the show. So the domestic violence just, you know, spiral. So that's a mental health side of a game that we need to talk about as well. So it's like everybody's dealing with this. There's no in between. You know, there's no safe place. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because we've been dealing with the coronavirus for 4 months. Black Lives Matter, not the organization, but the act of black men and black women losing their lives in 2020 and prior to this, we've been dealing with so much. So it's like, convoluted. I even got a little flack from who gives a F who banging Jada.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't flack. And like I told you, I'm a big boy. I can take it. Mm-hmm. But people were coming back, well, there's so much going on. We can do both. And I'm like, yeah, we can do both. But this is what I'm talking about. This is smoke and mirrors that they expect you to focus on this stuff. So it's a mind game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you, okay. So two quick things. Number one, dude, you said something I don't want to skate over. It's that reset. And when you like, Kanye is not the only one that's going through it, but at the same time, dude, when you have like the foundation of a narcissistic attitude or mentality, and then you have social media that amplifies everything that doesn't really need to be focused on, and you're not taking that moment to reset, and you don't have that checks and balance in place to say, hey, you bugging, like that is just constantly magnifying all of these episodes. So you're putting this stuff out there. And then here's the most dangerous part. His little meltdown is you got to think of it as like standing in water and you splashing your hands. You're sending these waves out, but those ripple effects going to come back inward. So everything that he said and he's done this week, that's just him pushing the waves out. Those ripple effects are going to start coming back. And if he's not really taking the time to really reset, man, I just don't want to see that. Like a lot of people thought I hate Kanye. I don't hate Ye. I was a fan of Kanye. College Dropout was one of the smartest albums that I was like, yo, this guy, like he came right at the time when Kanye came in, that perfect time where the 90s was transitioning to the 2000s and a lot of these cats were sounding the same and they was doing the same shoot 'em up format. And Kanye came out with Jesus Walks.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was different then because, you know, Jay was, you can start seeing Jay lead the pack.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I'm mentioning Jay-Z lead the pack. You saw what Cash Money was doing. No Limit kind of, you know, was Master P was transitioning into a different life, into, you know, different things. And then they go to College Dropout.
Yeah.
And the College Dropout came in. I was like, yo, this dude is on a whole different level.
And because everybody thought Through the Wire was a one and done.
Oh, no. Then, I remember you and I talking. We had the College Dropout. We was listening to that.
We was at the barbershop and everybody was like, nah, he ain't gonna have another one. And then, boy, he came out with like, dude. And then Late Registration to follow that up.
Yeah. 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 He was like, on a different level.
Yeah. But then, you know, somewhere around 808 and Heartbreaks is where he started to veer off into this whole, you know, spiral where either he's hot and then he's not.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned Jay, dude, I felt really bad when I saw how his relationship with Jay started to separate, because I knew that Jay was one of the only people at that time since his mother passed that really said, Hey, you tripping.
Yeah.
But back to onto the Jada situation, and I get, we can do both. But what other people have to understand is you have to understand the power of your platform. When everybody is flooding their platform with Jada and that other little dude and Will, and you got to understand, you're now magnifying this. Hey, joke about that and get your laughs on. You do have to have a break. You do have to unplug, but we also have to understand the magnitude of what we have to say. We can't say, hey, pay attention to us, get this straight because this is killing us, and then turn around and start shucking and jiving again.
Well, it's just like you said, Angel, it's the ripple effect. You know, you said standing in water, you're sinking, but you're throwing those ripple effects out there. And that's what I felt about the Jada and Will and Alcina drama. I mean, and yet and still, we're going on day whatever, and Breonna Taylor's killers, murderers are still not held to justice.
Dude posting pics on social media on having his best life on vacation.
Yeah, and I had the names. I think I left it in the other room because I wanted to read the names of these murderers. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to just say Breonna Taylor's killers. I'm like, yo, these people have a name. I don't want y'all to hide. Like you always say, don't let them hide in anonymity. Let's put them out there so people can know what they're doing. And hey, but what the justice system is not bringing any charges up against these guys. So
no, and it's sad that there's so many petitions that have been signed. The prosecutor, he's posting pics about planning his wedding, and I'm like, come on, man, like really? And here now, I'm gonna switch gears, and this where you're gonna understand why I hated the Will and Jada situation, right? When Jada felt like Will got snuffed at the Oscars, she went on this whole campaign talking about boycott the Oscars, right?
Yes, sir.
She went on social media. She was campaigning for her fan base to take a stand, boycott the Oscars, blackout Oscars, all this. Now, and if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be wrong. Understand that first and foremost. But tell me where I'm wrong. I ain't never heard Jada speak up about Trayvon, campaign about the violence in the streets. I never heard Jada speak anything about George Floyd. I could have missed it. But what I'm saying is that at the time when we're dealing with Breonna Taylor, a sister, because she's all about that girl power, right? She's all about that empowerment for sisters. Because you know how she checked Snoop on calling Gayle King out of her name.
Yeah.
Because she felt like Snoop said it to her.
And it should have been directed to her.
But hold on.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang, baby.
But hold on, bro. Listen. So, but you should have felt like Breonna's murderers killed you then.
See, and that's the point.
Because listen, you use your platform to bring this messy ass interview to the forefront at a time where we're trying to advocate justice for a sister, for a law-abiding citizen who died in her own home. What law did she break? First of all, y'all entered the wrong damn house. The wrong house. And here's the thing. You knew you were wrong because you just now issued a veto to ban no warrant knocks.
No knock warrant.
Name it after her. Yeah, no knock warrant. Which is you name it after her.
A slap in the face.
But you won't charge the guys that murdered her in her home. Mm-mm. So Jada, I'm saying, Miss Set It Off, Miss Tupac Video, Keep Your Head Up. I'm saying, yo, what's up? Because you use this moment to go talk about your dirty laundry, but you didn't use this platform to speak up about Breonna, but you all about sisterhood.
Well, that's why I've never really been a fan of Jada Pinkett. I mean, I'm not a celebrity whore chaser. I just look at them like who they are. You know, your poop stink like the next person's poop stink. And I don't want to smell any poop. So therefore, yeah. You're nothing to me. I always said in live, even prior to me going on my little who cares about Jada rant, you and I have already said in a previous episode in season two, I was like, man, this family is weird. I mean, I don't really care about them. But here's the thing. Sheeple. You're dealing with sheeple. You're dealing with sheep and people. People are led like sheep. You know, they're mentally challenged within their own confines because people look outwardly for happiness instead of looking inward for happiness.
There you go.
So when you do that, you're easily amused. And that's why I don't watch a lot of television. Because that's the idiot box. I'm getting to the point now in my 40s that I like to read more and more now than I ever have ever in my life. It reminds me of when we were younger. We had to read.
That's what you find out. Yeah.
Yeah, we had to read. But now I have a certain love of reading that I, you know, and I'm reading everything about my history and so forth and whatnot. So, like you said, having a platform like the Smiths, been prime time, baby, to be like, what about Breonna Taylor?
Yeah.
You know, let's turn the heat up on that. But when your husband didn't get an Oscar, you were so quick. Yeah. Oscars, boycott the Oscars. Oscars so white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which put Chris Rock into a situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I remember all of that stuff, but I never really watched the Oscars, so I didn't care about it because I already know the Oscar was nothing. It was, you know, look, man.
Dude,
I didn't jump into podcasting because, you know, I wanted to be, you know, that dude that, you know, we don't do this out of what everybody else thinks. It's a certain level of love, labor of love that you do. Because if that was the case, I can go with the simplest format and I don't even have to edit it. I just record off of my phone and put it back up.
Yeah.
Man. You know what I mean?
Some people just do Facebook Live and
right. Let's be honest. And have a dope message. And I appreciate them and I respect them as well because to each his own, because you're doing what you want to do and you're doing it to the highest of your ability. But what I'm saying is that when I said about that whole Jada thing, I was like, yo, man, look, that wasn't me stepping on anybody's toes in the podcast community, in the content creator community. That was me just saying, like, here go this sheeple stuff again.
Yeah.
You know what? Smoke and mirrors. Here we go. And then we got, let me transition this one. Then we got wanna be black, ain't so black, Nick Cannon. My boy. My boy did a Snoop in a Snoop.
Well,
I mean, he came with like conspiracy theory Jones black. Then he backpedaled.
This is my problem.
Go for it, B.
Jeez. I was wanting to avoid this pothole.
No, sir. Listen, no, sir. No stones unturned over here now.
Okay, so here's my problem, dude. Is you can't label everything anti-Semitic. And when you think about Semite, anti-Semitic really is implying to anti-black. If you really break down the root of anti-Semitism, it comes from anti-blackness. But it has been restructured and redefined to apply to anything hateful and directed towards Jews. Speaking and saying that Jews are Yiddish and not true Hebrew is not anti-Semitic. It's not anti-Semitic. It's not. And that irks me. And this is my problem, is that if you don't see the contrast and differences, where if you say something about the Jewish community and you get this response, and all of a sudden, you get fired. you lose sponsorships, you lose connections, you lose networks, you lose income. Dude, people have been dogging Black people for years and still have their jobs. They still have their networks. Mm-hmm. They're still praised as great. The reporter who told LeBron James, shut up and dribble. Yeah. But yet, because you think what Nick Cannon said, and it's funny, though, because even Jews joke about Jews. But okay, that's all the white comics who talk about how cheap and frugal old Jewish men are, and how they have so much money, and how the Jews are this, that, and the other, I don't hear no anti-Semitics. But when it comes down to a particular subject matter, people get up in an uproar. So what I would employ for people to do, stop reacting to what they taught you to react to. Start studying yourself and start understanding. Even the state of Israel was occupied by other people who took that land. If you follow the roots, you're going to start scratching your head and start saying, wait a minute. 2 + 2 ain't equaling 6 over here. Something's not right.
Well, the average person is not like you and I, Angel. The average person doesn't understand why they destroyed the Library of Alexander.
Dude.
Okay, Alexandria. They don't understand the history and understand that when you destroy history, the real history and the ones who are in power have the right to rewrite history. Mm. So you mean to tell me that so many years, none of this stuff has been rewritten? So the problem that I have with old Nikki, boy, is that if you say it, stand on it.
That's the
problem. And don't go apologizing for anything. But you apologize to the rabbis. I was like, Negro, are you outside your... See, this is what I'm talking about. See, either understand your position on the chessboard.
Yep.
And I'm going to credit this to Craig Facts, Craig Smith, on the 5150 show. He said, yo, either understand your position on the chessboard and don't relinquish your moves because of where you're at and knowing that this is a three steps ahead, and then you relinquish your power because of your position because you're speaking out of turn.
Mm.
And then, you know, what do you do? You know, you want to be so Black, but then they put you in your place. Okay, boy, I'm going to fire you from Viacom. Fire you. Yet again, I've said this is one of the reasons I don't watch BET because Viacom owns BET.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and BET ain't been for Black people since the 2000s. Let's be honest about that.
It started happening 97-ish.
Yeah.
96, 97. You start looking at that trend upward, which was downward. But stand on it. Stand on it. Now I don't have a problem with an apology.
Mm.
But prove me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, come with facts like, no, well, Nick, you're wrong because this is where it's at. And then let me get my facts and bring it to the table. And let's have an open dialogue. See, Jews never apologize for that.
Never.
You know, but you know, nobody can say anything about, and I don't really care about them. I care about people, but I don't care about a particular people because no one is better than the other. And this is the whole construct that I'm trying to get people to understand. If we don't have respect of persons within all constructs of life, then we don't have respect for anyone.
Bring it home. Because it's funny how we talk about, well, Jesus has no color, but it's always a problem with the color of Black people. Because Jesus is allowed to be every other color but Black.
But Black. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. As a Black man.
Everybody, and that's what you got to check yourself on. If you really loved everybody, why have you whitewashed Jesus so much? Why does he have to be white in order for you to accept him?
Well, because they have to match him to them.
There you go.
When you match, I have to match, because if he looks like me, if he looks like you, Angel, then why are you mistreating my people?
There you go.
So I have to whitewash him to look like my image rather than your image, because I know what I'm doing is wrong. But hey, don't do what I do.
There you go.
Do as
there
I say. Go. And that's what they told Nick. And that's what they did to Nick. And I'm disappointed in Nick. See, I already see Terry Crews as that coon and ain't doing what he does. And I'm looking at Terry. I'm like, dude, you are something else.
I've lost so much. I can't. I don't have no more respect to lose for Terry Crews.
Man, I have to borrow some respect for him and then lose it again. How about that?
That's how much. That's how much respect I've lost for this guy. Like, and it's sad because, dude. First of all, who the hell are you, Terry Crews? What are your contributions? If I look, even back when you was on that BS show, Gladiators or whatever it is, that reality show that he started out in the '90s on, and who did you? What character did you choose to play? T-Money, a stereotypical black man with a big ass gold chain around your neck, shucking and jiving on a show that should have been about athleticism. Mm-hmm. You choose to represent this character.
T-Money. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So let's look at your catalog. What acting gigs have you really contributed to the world? Dude, look at that movie, the Ridiculous Six, and look at this man's, how he played these roles. Like, dude, I was like, Terry, you should have been in Django. Samuel L. Jackson.
I've yet to see that movie. I just refuse to watch that movie.
Damn, Samuel.
You know, and I heard it's some funny parts. You know,
they should have gave that role to Terry Crews because he real life portraying that role. But here's the disappointment I have with Nick.
Yes, sir.
I ain't a perfect. I'm using double negatives. I'm using slang. Listen, because I'm getting real on it. I ain't a perfect person. You're not perfect. We have flaws. We have mistakes in our past that we've owned up to, that we've tried to grow from. But we also understand this, man. See, what we see with Nick is the same thing we see with buck breaking. What we see with examples is because what you do is when you have a strong group of black men on a plantation and you know that there's going to be an uprising, you break the biggest one. You break one so that the other ones will see the example of what happens to them. See, I'm thinking about the young guys. I'm thinking about the young guys looking at you bragging about being your own man, bragging about being a self-made man, bragging about being your own boss. But the moment you run into this little turbulence, you bow down. You bow down. Now, I understand saying things that are hurtful to a community, and that's not the energy you're trying to put out. So, okay. But you can't play both sides. You can't play both sides.
Hurtful to a community, but what about a black community, man? Like, we've been dogged left and right, upside down, back and front, man, back and forth. And nobody cares about our plight.
Nobody.
You know, that, like I told you, every 10 years, remember the Holocaust.
Yeah.
They would not allow you to forget.
But yeah, they plight. Tell you,
but right,
slavery. Oh, let it go.
They don't want you talking about slavery.
Oh, I'm finna hit you hard
because see, the bottom line is that every even the Indians got reparation. The Jews got reparation. What are the reparations for the descendants of slaves?
Nothing.
Yeah, because see, for them, this is why the conversation of race does not come and go full circle, go forward. Because to admit that I am wrong comes with a price tag.
It does.
And they know it. See, because it's some lawyer, and it's probably a Jewish lawyer out there, that the very second that America admits that they are wrong with how they have treated black people, the lawyers are going to have a field day. Because now they can demand reparation from the government. And the government who says, we don't have any money, but when coronavirus come, I'm printing money out.
Left and right.
And I'm only giving you suckers a drop in the, not even a drop in the bucket. Mm. As a matter of fact, your little payout didn't even hit the bucket because the big wigs got all the money.
Dude, that payout wasn't nothing but the residue on the outside of the bucket.
That's exactly it, brother.
The condensation.
So,
listen, dude.
You understand what I'm saying about the admittance of America saying that we've mistreated black people comes with a price tag. And this is why I echo you when you tell our listeners, stop paying for the stupidity. Stop spending your money. Be a righteous consumer. Stop overconsumption of their goods, of their services, of their products, and start focusing on Black-owned businesses. And this is why we also echo Black-owned businesses, step up your freaking game.
Yes, sir.
Stop treating your people like we're nothing and start understanding that your people are your best customers, but we have got to raise our level of understanding to the same level. Go for it, Chief.
We got to love us, and not just when it looks good. We got to do it on all levels. But reparations for slavery never happened. What about reparations for Black Wall Street?
What about reparations from 1898 in North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, man? Like that was a thriving Black town, Angel.
What about Rosewood?
What about the Indian, the Seminoles?
Oh, my bad. Y'all thought Rosewood was just a movie, huh?
No, man, it was real.
Y'all don't realize that these people, these Black farmers, own their own land. They own their own property. They own their own crops. They have their own businesses. And again, because some white woman claimed that she was accosted, they went on a rampage lynching and murdering innocent Black people and took all their land, their businesses. And ain't it funny how when they struggle economically, and if you look at the contrast of how these lynchings took place and then they benefit economically, and then you compare that to what happens today, when they murder unarmed American citizens, lynching, and then all of a sudden they get overtime. Politicians get to use their little spin. They get to pass bills. They get to finagle things behind the scenes that you don't pay attention to because you're too worried about this. They have people so worried about protesters looting their neighborhoods, they're willing to support any jackass in the White House to do whatever. But it all comes down to this, man. Center Mass, dude, is, again, Nick, brother, we're disappointed. And it's here's the thing, dude. I understand taking accountability if you misfired and you said something you felt was hurtful to people. I understand that. But my people, what we have to understand, too, is that we can't be afraid to lose anything. We got to get out of this mindset that they can take something from us. Maybe we got to have tough conversations that are not easy for people to hear in order for us to be heard. Because see, that's the problem. The moment you say something they don't like, it's shut down. But the moment you turn on the news, a Black man killed they don't have a problem. They don't have a problem speaking ill on us, and it's allowed. Don't you know that as far as in television, you can't say any slanderous terms toward Jews or homosexuals? Do you know this?
Oh, I know it.
That they have a hip, but you can write a script all day long with nigga in it.
Yeah. And you allowed a couple of B words in there.
Do you understand that?
Rhymes with witch.
Even if they do a segment that is, you know, a hate, trying to expose hatred towards the homosexual community, any slanderous terms, they still have to pay a fine when it's used in their programming, but there's no such reparation whenever the N-word is used. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Well, I know because I'm a writer and we've been dealing with certain things on the back end of other things, but the majority of people don't know that. So a lot of people, we like, if what Nick Cannon said, I encourage everyone to read Dr. Claude Anderson's books. I encourage you to read, my book is right here on the desk, but I don't want to hold on one second. I'm going to ruffle some papers because I want y'all to understand. I want y'all to get, I'm going to get this title to this book. I want you also to read Message to the Black Man in America by Elijah Muhammad. This book right here.
Yes.
I want you to read that book. and sorry for the noise, but, you know, I constantly read, you know, again, Message to the Black Man by the Honorable Mr. Elijah Muhammad, and also read and study up on Farrakhan as well. Because they got Farrakhan, the honorable minister, off of the internet.
They sure did.
I've yet to hear him say anything like really hateful towards anyone, especially the Jews. See, Farrakhan is basically just telling y'all the truth and y'all don't want to hear it. But like I said before, don't just listen to what Nick said and take it as, you know, face value. Mm-hmm. Anything that anybody say to me, I go read it. If the preacher says something about this, that, and the other, I go study. Because I want to know what he's telling me is the truth. And that's all I'm asking everyone else. You figure out what's the truth for you. Because what they teach you in public school is not the truth. What they're teaching you over the airway, is not the truth. The truth is out there. You have to seek it. You have to be a student and a steward of God's word to go out there and search and seek these things, because he said, I would not have my people to be ignorant. So a lot of that is where I have a direct problem with, which I think ghettoism is an insult to Black people. Too many people will want to be hood and live their life and not pick up these books and study and educate yourself about what's what. Then if Nick was saying what he was saying, you'd be like, yo, I read something like that before. You know what I mean? And you got to understand and go deeper and deeper and deeper into what, you know, what language is as well. Because even from the Hebrew translation to the King James version of the Bible is really a gap in between of the translations. So we're not getting all of the knowledge.
If you're
asking for Massa to give you that knowledge, you're never going to give it. You're never going to get it. See, they send their kids to public schools to learn their indoctrinating. That's indoctrination of what they're trying to push. And you put your kids in public school, they're getting that same indoctrination. However, I always said, and I've heard you say this a lot of times, Angel, you said, well, okay, I understand that. But what about our churches in the community? What about what we know as a community to pour that true information back into our community and our kids? And so the next generation will have a little bit more than what we had. We didn't have people reaching back and saying, hey, man, look, yo, read this book here, you know, get this book. You know, because it never felt right for me to see white people have it all. Because in order for someone to have it all, somebody died along the way. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a price to be paid in life. And a lot of times what y'all don't understand is that the price is paid in blood.
Yeah.
It's bloodshed. So to be ignorant is an insult to who you are as a person.
Yeah.
You know, and in your community as well. As much as the hippest song is out, I wish the hip, what was hip was education. And that's why you and I are, you know, we were born in hip hop, KRS-One, Public Enemy. When they was dropping that knowledge, we were soaking it up. Leaders of the New School, A Tribe Called Quest, you know, when they was dropping knowledge, you know, we were soaking it up. Even when Pac came on the scene, I don't care what Pac was and whatever, what people think he was or whatever, or what your mental state of what he thug like or whatever. But look at the message that was dropping, the knowledge that was being dropped as well. So what I'm saying is if you don't study, if you don't educate yourself, then the only fault for you failing is yourself. And we have to be better than that. So,
yeah,
you know, but like I said before, if you want to know the truth is out there, but you got to go search the truth.
Yep.
So that's my little two cents, my man. Come on, Bring it. What
did Malcolm say? Malcolm X said, if you want to hide anything from a Negro, hide it in a book.
Hide it in a book. And that's been the joke, the running joke. And see, this is why, back when before the internet was popular, Andrew and I used to go to the library every day.
And had the staff hating on us.
Because we were asking for certain books.
What are you doing here? What do you need? What do you got going now? Like, damn, isn't this a public library? Right.
We used to get off of work and we had an off day, so forth. We either work out, go run or whatever. We try to eat clean. Angel and I meet up at the library, and that was our thing. And the looks that we got there was quite interesting, to say the least. This was before the internet boom, like, you know, when people got their little notebooks and, you know, drinking their little lattes. You know, me and Angel was in there dropping, you know, trying to get that knowledge and so forth. But, you know, these kids have it now where you can get on the internet and you can search and you can pull up some knowledge. And I'm gonna get a list of books that I feel like every black man should read, you know, from 10 to 65. I mean, your brain, man, you never stop educating. You never stop flexing that muscle, man. That's the biggest muscle we have. It is imperative that we use it and stay calm. So what else we got on the agenda, Mr. Angel?
Well, we also need to touch on, you know, the violence in our communities, because it's a couple of things we want to set straight. You know, number one, what's important for people to understand is when people are saying Black Lives Matter, that does not necessarily mean allegiance with the BLM organization. Okay. So first and foremost, let's get that out of there, because there's a lot of people who have issues with the BLM organization and some of the things that are going on behind the scenes, what their true objectives are, what their agendas are, whatnot. And what people have to understand is, like, we can't continue to be divisive on portraying the message. Because someone says a Black Lives Matter, it doesn't mean they're supporting BLM. With that being said, when people throw black on black crime up, number one, black on black crime is false. Crime is crime. And when you throw that up and say, well, where are you guys who scream Black Lives Matter when all this violence is, excuse me? Dude, first of all, pump your brakes. Because number one, we don't condone violence in our neighborhood against our people. Whether it's been committed by, someone outside the community or inside the community. For years, we have had fight the violence, anti-violence rallies where we've marched and we've spoken up. For years, we've challenged gang members to broker peace. Hey, there's been a lot of celebrities who have finally used their platform for good to broker peace among some of the worst gangs in the neighborhoods. And the peace has been successful in some areas. Some, like Chicago, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But I don't like when people throw that up in transition as in somehow saying that, oh, we're outraged when a unarmed black person is killed by a cop, but yet somehow in the back of our mind, we condone a 6 year or 8 year old girl getting shot by senseless violence. No, that's never been the truth. That's never been the fact. Violence is violence. We don't want no parts of it. We're tired of it. We're sick of it. My brother and I constantly talk about a time when community putting the neighbor back into the hood, where community was a community where we looked out for each other and you couldn't get away with those things because you knew eyes were everywhere. We constantly preached that message. We constantly reference that time, that point in time. And we constantly represent the movement of putting the neighbor back into the hood because we need to be each other's neighbors. But, you know, to throw that out in such a reckless way as if somehow we condone violence within our neighborhood, but we're only mad about this. That's ridiculous. What's your response to that when you hear that?
Well, I like to echo what you said. You know, you mentioned one time before that, you know, black on black crime is something that it really doesn't exist because it's based off proximity. You know, white people kill white people every day in America. And you never hear white on white crime. But if it's black on black, black and dealing or killing black people, it's going to be plastered all over the place. It's going to be shared a million times. There's footage of white people doing horrendous things out there in the world, but it's like stock footage for a movie. When the stock footage for what blacks do is primetime media, let me put this in rotation. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's always a narrative. But look, I agree with you 100%. We definitely have to be neighbors. We have to take control of our neighborhood. And I also believe that, you know, I honestly think it's something in the food, fast food, that drives people stupid. I believe in, you know, drinking healthy, you know, drinking lots of water, alkaline water, eating clean. You know, I have my, you know, my sweet tooth. I'm just, you know, I'm a chocolateaholic. But for the most part, I eat clean. I eat, you know, fruits and vegetables and so forth. White meats and lean meats and you know, sometimes I eat, you know, my proteins, red meat. But at the end of the day, as a black man, you know, I have a part to play into this as well. I have to be mindful of how I treat my family. I have to be mindful of how I treat my neighbors. I have to be mindful of how I treat people. And what I'm saying is that a lot of ownership comes on us as a man, as maturity, that we need to do these things. It's very easy to pull a trigger. I can give a baby a gun and a baby can squeeze it. It's only what, so many precious pounds of pressure.
Yeah.
So a baby can pull a trigger of a gun and be a mass murderer. If he, you know, if it's a Uzi, if he's able to spray everybody down. However, it does not mean that that's what we need to do. We need to have compassion and empathy for one another, understanding that, you know, just because I can doesn't always mean that I should. Just because I'm upset doesn't mean that I need to act out in violence. And really own who we are as an individual. And then to me, that's what's slapping the enemy in their face. Be like, I know what you may say about us, but this is not who we are. And rightfully so, it takes that time. And that's a mental health game as well, because we don't know how your support system is within your own home. Right. We don't know how your support system is in your community. But I've always felt like even if the situation was poor, as long as it wasn't dire straits, I had an opportunity to change my position, to change my outcome on where I was at. And a lot of that just starts with you. If we take time to work on ourselves, if we take time to just basic reset, move away from the situation, such and such over here does not like me. Let me remove myself from the equation. Let me mind my own business and go a different route in life. Because if I continue to be around that person, it's going to cause friction. And some of us need to back away. Because, man, look, I love my life. And as much as I don't like other people, I'm not here to take your life away from you. So, but it's ownership, Angel. It's responsibility and maturity as a man. For me as a person, to be like, yo, I just got to keep my mouth shut. Some things bother me. I can't go off willy-nilly and just start cursing people out. I can't explode or be demonstrative. I just have to say, that really bothers me. Let me not be around that situation because I know how this situation makes me feel. Dude, that's ownership.
Yeah,
that's ownership.
Don't ever go anywhere where you need to defend yourself to that extent where it's violent.
Right.
Just the same, like you and I learned in the 90s, like, okay, there was a concept of, I need to protect myself. But then an old head told us, like, man, listen, dude, don't go nowhere where you need a gun.
Exactly. And those gems that they dropped on us stayed with us. And I was like, because we don't need, look, man, if my family is over here and the drama is over there, then my family must love that drama.
Yep.
And I doesn't, does not mean that I got to go over there.
Yeah, don't bring that gun out the house.
No.
Why not? Because you'll use it.
Yep. Oh, I know I will.
So
And that's a bad thing, because see, that becomes that now, you know, you can be the innocent, most innocent person in the world, but if you get caught up in some drama, then nobody sees that you're innocent. Nobody sees that you were a good person. They see the reality is what happened right then and there. And that's where we as Black people have to remember. We got to just calm my spirit down, man. Like, I don't like the violence, Angel. I think it breaks it. You know, I think it's crazy. I think it breaks my heart to see that. I've seen senseless things that's going on in Chicago. I've seen things that should not be. And I also think those things that are out there are being put out there to kind of douse the flames of the movement with Black Lives Matter, because one thing or another, you have allies across different races, white, Hispanic, Asian, you know, even overseas. And one thing about that is the enemy does not want any empathy for Black people.
No.
And when Black people start getting empathy, then the spotlight changes to, why are you treating people so badly?
Right.
And the finger is pointed at them. And when the finger start points at them, the momentum, the pendulum swings. And once the pendulum swings, you got to be ready to ride that momentum on to the other side. But when you have a Terry Crews coming out there buck dancing, when you have the senseless violence that's going on now, it's violence everywhere. Now, don't get it twisted, but your violence is going to be shown before their violence is going to be shown.
And magnified.
It's going to be magnified, because I got to make sure that the world see that you're nothing. You're less than. And you're not. You're the most powerful being on the face of this planet. Our people have been dogged left and right. But if you understand the strength that you have as a person and stop flexing your outer muscles and start flexing your mental muscle and calm your spirit and act rationally, certain things happen. See, they do not want Black people to unify, truly unify. Man, this marching thing, that's cool. Yeah. But unify. Start unifying with your money. See, because when they stop marching and everybody, if Black people self-quarantine themselves, the world would look different. If Black people self-quarantine themselves right now, in 30 days, the world will look different. If you didn't spend any money, only spent the money on the essential items that you needed, the world will look different right now. I promise you. But the problem that we have is these stupid young and old yo-yos out here that are not, you know, it's always some bad apples, man. And if you open a batch of apples, and if you open the box and you see the bad apples, you don't care about the good apples in there anymore.
No.
You're focused on, oh, look at this disgusting apple.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the problem that I have with it. And this is something that you've spoken on this time and time again about how we have to change our mental approach about this. But until we get it. And I talk to Young Dolomite all the time from the Too Much Game podcast. Shout out to him. I've always said, I say, man, look, man, it's not going to be a kumbaya moment. Mm-mm. You know, it's not going to be every Black person in the world getting along. It's going to be straight 300 Sparta. It's going to be small groups against the masses. But those small groups have to be technical, tactical, and resilient in order for this thing to go to the next level. So with that said, I'm sorry to rant on about it, B, but it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see kids get killed. Okay.
Yeah, dude, come on, man. Let's be for real.
Yeah.
If you had any hand in any of that, dude, you're just a straight up sucker, man. It's no way around it. Because at the end of the day, man, you know, like my brother elaborated on, you know, dude, we was once young and dumb. You know, we, no matter how much knowledge we had in our head, we also had chips on our shoulders. But we learned at an early age that, you know, at some point in time in life, dude, you have to, as long as you walk around with that chip on your shoulder, there's always going to be someone there that's trying to take it off. And it's not worth it, dude. That animosity in your heart, that anger, that pride, and all it comes down to pride and ego. That's all it is. Oh, why are you looking at me? What you say? You know, all that, dude, that all of a sudden now you in custody over something that was what? What? Like, dude, now you got a whole nother set of problems. But even worse, what if you take somebody's life, dude? None of that is worth it, man. It's not worth it.
Young kids, man. These children are dying for nothing.
Yeah. For nothing.
For nothing. And I have a big problem with that because, you know, because you want to be sissified. And yeah. I borrowed that from the movie Friday when Pops told Cube's character, why you need that gun?
That gun down, son.
And put up your dukes, man. He's like, now you somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. You know, it's the small things I get, you know, because look, man, we only mad for a quick second. If we can calm our spirits down and be like, man, whatever, man, there's more good life that we have to live than giving our life up for stupidity.
Yeah. Especially if it's spilling over to taking the life of innocent people who had nothing to do with whatever little situation that led to it. You know, it's just not worth it, man.
No, it's not. And it breaks my heart. Like literally, dude, I think the older that I'm getting, the more empathy and sensitive than I am to the fact that innocent kids are losing their lives. But you know, this is the narrative that I want to change, man. Like we need to change this narrative because this is not how it got. This is not how it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody, somebody, Big Mama, Ray Ray Pookie, somebody needs to be like, yo, man, stop right now.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to see you. I have more respect for you owning your neighborhood than destroying your neighborhood.
Right.
As a group of investors,
you buying into your neighborhood and owning it.
Right. And that's what I was about to say as well. It was a group of investors. Like I said, I left my other notes in the other room and I don't want to just, you know, kill time and go get it. It's a group of investors in Houston that actually bought the Fifth Ward in Houston. I think I'm going off the top of my dome. I have to fact check it later. But these are the things that I'm saying that we need to do as well as buying into your neighborhood, buying in and owning that land and the community that, you know, people, you know, that you can set fair housing prices for people. You know, it's not trying to get rich off of these people. It's trying to provide them something that they can have as well. Hey man, I'm a product of the projects. You know, but at the same time, our house was always clean. You know, and I remember our mom telling us, like, just because we're in the projects doesn't mean that we got to live like we're in a project.
Right.
You know what I mean? We, you know, hard work, you know, cleaning your home. I mean, it was a routine Saturday mornings. All you heard was Al Green, Sister Sledge, the Jackson 5, you know, Stevie Wonder. You know, and you smell Pine Sol and bleach.
Boy.
You know what I'm saying? But you were clean though. The house was clean and we were clean. And that's the you know, hey, the house was too clean for roaches. Put it like that. The roaches come be like, man, it's too clean up in here, player.
Why you playing?
Yo, man, no, it's clean over here.
Nice in here, son.
Yo, it's nice in here. Yo, I got to put my shades on, man. Look at it. He's polishing up his little Ninja Turtle.
Hey, Bobby, get a load of Benson over here.
Oh, the roaches call me Benson, right? Oh, that's dope. That's crazy.
He's a regular Benson, this one over here.
Yeah, look at him cleaning up, late soldier. Yeah, man. But that, you know, mom didn't play. You know what I mean? And you know, dad didn't play. So it is what it is. I mean, and then eventually we move out of the projects, and mom became a homeowner and so forth. But you know, but that's life. You know, it wasn't, our life wasn't just stagnant. It was levels to it. And some people's lives are levels, but it's small steps in the same place.
Yeah.
And when you're
good analogy.
Right. Like when you're constantly in that same place, you're seeing your aunt, your uncle, you know, you're seeing Pookie, you're seeing Ray Ray, you're seeing, you know, Canucci's, you know, little aunt, you're seeing the same people and nobody's doing anything better than you. And it's mm-hmm. hard for you to think outside of the box.
Yeah.
But you got to understand that that's the box that, that your people put you in. You gotta come out of that.
Oh yeah.
You know, matter of fact, it's just like you're in that, like that t-shirt don't fit you. You know, you're wearing size clothes too small for you and are too big for you because you don't need hand-me-downs. You don't need a hand-me-up. You can do these things, man. You need to stop. You know, and what really drives me crazy is people always fall back on the negative.
Yeah.
People are drawn to the negative. Yo, I'm gonna get this quick buck right here. I'ma sling this here and I'ma hustle this here. And a lot of that, I remember, you know, I was a square dude. I remember because a lot of cats had cars when I was 14, 15 years old. Some cats had they, you know, cars and stuff. They was rolling around, riding around. I was a square dude. I was walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they were flashy Negro to the females, but the same females they was trying to get, I was getting. You get what I'm saying? But I wasn't on blast though. I was like, I was the nerd.
I was there, right.
I was the nerd. I was that, you ain't got it because you ain't got it. You know, I'm like, okay, it ain't meant for me to have it. But I had money in my pocket because I was working.
Hey. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, we put too much emphasis on this, and that's why I say I've never been flashy. And I think a lot of cats are hey, let me get this quick money, let me hustle, let me be this rap song, this rap video, because everybody to me they live their lives like rap videos. I'm like, let me do this, you know. And the one rap video that I think of is "You Headed for Self Destruction."
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You headed for self-destruction because you're too busy worried about the wrong thing. But when it comes to educating, and let me tell you something, the dope game is not an easy game. These young men and young women who get into it, they're very intelligent, but utilize that intelligence on a different level. And I think, is it the thrill?
Nah. Dude, that's,
you know,
one of the,
what
that's
is it?
One of the biggest, that's one of the biggest pyramid schemes out.
It really is. Because at the end, the price that you pay has been too heavy.
Boy, that's,
I mean, we have an aunt right now that's been a career. She's been in pen longer than she's been out in the world.
Yeah.
We have an aunt right now that's in the penitentiary. Oh, she I think she's out now. I don't know. But if I was to measure her life, she has spent more time behind bars than she has spent out.
Out free.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yo, you ought to sit down and write a book about. No, don't even write a book, because don't nobody need to read that. No, don't read. Come on, man. So I just want to encourage these people, man, like, dude, it's nothing wrong with educating yourself. You know, it's nothing wrong with doing what you have to do in life to be better, because, you know, it's nothing wrong with the hood. We just got to put the neighbor back there.
Let's go, baby.
You know what I'm saying? We got to bring that neighbor back and let the roaches say, "Hey, look at Benson over here."
get a load of Benson over here.
Hey, I'd rather the roach talk noise to me and call me out because I'm doing my job, or my parents getting on me because I didn't do my job.
Hey, player, you didn't leave crumbs behind. What's up?
Yo, go to the house next door. You'll be fat before you know it. Yo, man, right. I couldn't stand it, dude. Like, I hate it. I absolutely can't stand trash and dirt. It bothers me, man. But that's how we were raised, man. And it's funny because, I mean, I didn't like to get up on Saturday mornings and clean. but it was something that we did, you know. But you know what, we were, and, you know, we were introduced to a lot of good things, and one of the good things we were introduced to is work ethic and also good music. And man. And I wouldn't change that for nothing.
You know, so
it was just, it's a life that we live, and you got to take education, you got to take things out of the simple things as well. You know, people think, you know, that's why I'm simple, man. I can take a drive to the country and I'm happy. I'm outside of the city. I'm breathing fresh air. I'm happy. I don't have to be the life of the party, man. I can be out there just chilling, just looking at nature. And that's the beauty in life that I take for myself. And that's maybe because I'm a poet at heart, but I just love peace and quiet. I love my space. You know what I mean? I don't have to be around a bunch of people. I don't have to turn up. I can be chill out and I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we, with that said, it doesn't mean that I'm on an island. You know, I still live in this world. I still want better for everyone in this world. So with that said, I want to see people do better and show everyone a different way. Because regardless of when this world ends, right now it's still going. So as it's still going, we have to do better to make things better. And we can do it. I truly believe in that.
Absolutely, we can do it, you know. Dude, it's, you know, it's amazing, you know, just being in the upbringing of, you remember having to be creative because not having much, or, you know, having to create new games and new ways to entertain yourself. Dude, that sparked a whole new level of creativity. And, you know, I just worry about, with technology, man, have we grown that lazy where creativity has been stifled a little bit?
You know? Well, I thought about that when we first got into the quarantine situation, and it's something that you did when you had family game night with your family, and y'all brought out the board games and so forth. I was like, yo, that's freaking dope, and I just threw me back like, oh, we haven't done that.
Yeah,
I mean, the simple things.
But just remember, when we used to make up games. We used to create games. Like,
you're right.
You know, like, I know everybody created laundry ball. You know, when it's time to do laundry, dude, you ball up some socks.
And my man himself, I went to High Go Get.
Boy.
All the females in the hood, let's go.
Until it gets too competitive.
My mama told me don't be playing that game with you, Walter. They die. Oh, good. Your mama don't know that. Shut up. Let's go.
I said, how to go get.
How to go get.
which was always followed up by an impromptu, show me yours. I show you.
Say it again.
My daddy won't talk to you.
My daddy won't talk to you, Walter. No, he don't.
I phoned is off.
He coming over there to talk to your mama. What? You better not, son. My mama don't like no company.
Show me yours. I show you mine.
Oh, boy. You better not be playing that.
To the youngster, that was before sexting was a thing.
Boy, you need to quit. Snapchat. That's old school. Old school Snapchat. Yeah, you can see it. Let's see it.
Oh, girl, that's old school Snapchat.
She got that. Got that one hair. Oh, wow. Goodness, man. It's all good, man. You got to laugh to keep from crying, man. But with that said, man, that's life, though. But yeah, I was trying to think of the games that we used to create back in there. Other than the fact that I remember we had rainy days, we used to ball a sock up and shoot it in a hoop with the wire hanger, playing basketball.
Boy, hey,
in the house, destroying mom's laundry basket.
You hang that ball on the door, just close that door slightly. You got to get it through there, but you had a. It was an art because you can't go too high because the ceiling
is there. Ceiling is there. You got to get your game on, boy.
But it was fun and games until somebody got too competitive and wanted to dunk.
Yeah, when CJ. You dunk, the CJ is messing the whole game up, shacking it. Like, look, man, you going to broke the door. Man, you know, we got to hear mama mouth. And then you don't hear Mama Mouth. All you hear is that belt switching through there.
I know good and damn well that wasn't my hat. No, man.
Yeah, man. You, boy. Yeah, creativity, huh? Hey.
Creativity, man.
You have to do something, man. You have to do something. But it's good, man.
It was almost like a Dungeons and Dragons board game you and I created one time, man. It was, we need to find that, dude. Maybe get that in production or something.
Yeah, we had a couple of things that we used to do that we created back in the day that, you know, that I think would be dope now. But hey, man, it's just being creative and utilizing your mental and so forth. You know,
but that's energy too, man. That's getting, you know, that's taking all that energy and putting it to good use. You know, I hope somebody has some information out there as far as the domestic violence and efforts to getting out to people, man, because the quarantine has been exposing a lot of things. The economy has slowed down. People are stressed. And unfortunately, there's some people that was doing some things before the quarantine has probably been exposed. But, man, it's, you know, on a side note, hey, look, man, take care of your family, dude. It's no situation is worth risking it all. I don't care how tempting it looks. I don't care how, you know, it seems like it's the perfect situation. Like, take care of home first, man. Don't be misfiring out there and getting caught in some messy situation and tearing up your home, because it's not just hurting you and the person you with, man, especially if there's children involved. You know, they have to pay that price too. Just keep that in the back of your mind. And I'm not talking to anyone in particular. I'm just talking to everybody who's listening. Just keep that in the back of your mind, man. Keep the family unit together. But with that being said, bro, you got any final word?
No, man. I was just going to echo what you said. I agree with you as well. Mental health is very important. We definitely need to seek help. You know what I mean? Speak to your pastor. Speak to a qualified professional who can help you without judgment. And, you know, there's nothing like a good friend to listen to you as well. But I've always said the biggest thing, and because I never invoke my religion on anyone or my beliefs on anyone, but the best conversation I've had has been with God. I always talk to God. I just give him, you know, all the glory, and I pray to him. And I don't know, you know, what people may be into, and that's not for me to, you know, it's not for me to try to nitpick, but I just, you know, offer my little advice is that, hey man, I talk, you know, cause I'm an introvert. I really don't, you know, share my emotions with people. But I have a friend, you know what I mean? I talk to my brother. I talk to my wife. You know what I mean? I talk to my mother until she gets to going too hard and I have to get off the phone with her.
Aye.
All right, Mom, that's good. See what,
know
you,
what
need.
You need.
Oh my God. We said at the same time. Which is true.
Hey.
See what you need.
Hey, I got another call.
Yeah, Mom, my phone just rung. Boy, that phone game rung. I know you.
Speaking of Jesus, I think he's calling me right now. Gotta go, Mom. Gotta go.
It'd be her on the other end. Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
Jesus told me to call you from my other phone.
You got two phones, Ma.
You got two phones, Mama. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, man, but just
check on your peoples, man. Check on your peoples.
Yeah,
man. And getting a lot of those notices of people battling with, you know, depression and unfortunately there's been some suicides. Hey, check on your people, man. I don't care how together you think they are, how strong you think they are, man. Just check on your people. Just say, hey, man, I just called to say what's up, whatever. Be present. Check on your people, man, because a lot of people going through it right now.
Yeah, definitely. Be present in the moment, man, because the moment is truly the gift. I've said that before, and I'm always, you know, keep that in the forefront of your mind. It is very hard out there, people. We know it's hard. We know what you're going through. This quarantine and this coronavirus, this injustice to Black people, this injustice to American citizens within itself has been, you know, crazy. Like I said before, and there's things on the world stage that are going on that you got to pay attention to as well. So it's not one thing. It's a multitude of things. But, you know, take it all with a grain of salt, because you know, we can't solve every issue, but let's focus on the things that we can solve. Black people, let's work on ourselves. Let's get ourselves back to what we know that is the correct way. And let's love one another. Because if it comes out of love, if you do things with love in your heart, there's always good things, good energy can follow behind that. And that's where we have to be as well. So that's my final thoughts. Angel, what are your final thoughts, sir?
Man, my final thoughts are, man, don't wait until it breaks. Just don't wait till it breaks. If you feel that pressure, man, you feel the turbulence. You're not a lesser person. You're not a weaker person. Therapy is not a sign of weakness. Therapy is not for the rich and privileged. Don't be ashamed. Like we have to get out of certain stereotypes that we project on ourselves. Do what's necessary to take care of yourself. And if you love people and if you care about the people that depend on you, then put them first by making sure you're the best version of yourself that you can be. And the only way that you can do that is making sure that you as a person, you straight. Like, take care of your mental health. I can't say it enough. I can't express it enough. Take care of your mental health, because life in itself in general can be tough, and trying to navigate through that with some instabilities inside of your mental foundation, it makes it even more challenging. And another thing, to the sisters out there who are bringing up awareness to what's going on in the medical industry, thank you for echoing your voices out there and making people aware. But I will also say this, is that, you know, my people, sometimes people just don't know. And sometimes we have to be mindful of how we deliver our messages. Sometimes people just don't know. And that's all across the board, including myself. If I come across a little too aggressive, try to understand my passion versus the way it's received, and understand that there's no ill intent in my heart for you. But hey, if you feel like it's too aggressive, I'm not saying I'm going to switch it up all the time, but don't hesitate to reach out to me. Let me know, because my intent is never to offend anybody. But we have to also be mindful how we deliver our messages to people. And we have to have a bigger compassion to educate than to ridicule. Sometimes people just don't know. So we have to keep fighting the fight of educating people on the issues that are swept under the rug. Because once we understand what's going on, that opens up the lane for people to support it. So don't get weary. Don't get tired. Don't get so frustrated that you think it's not, you know, there's no attention focused on it. Bring the awareness forth and then have a plan of action to carry it to the next level. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet, just like that. Take care of your mental health. Make sure you continue to educate people on what's important to you by having the great conversations and letting people be aware. And man, love on your people. Check on your people. Don't wait until you have to remember who they were. Continue to build memories now. Back to you, man.
Yeah, hey, I really appreciate that, because, hey man, listen to what he said. Don't wait until it's broke. Thank you for sharing that, those thoughts, those gems with us, Angel. We really appreciate you, sir. Hey, I want to let you know that there's going to be a special segment that's coming to Miss Talks Podcast for season 3, and that's Queen and the Poet. Queen and the Poet, the honor is in the respect. Some of you will be interviewing with me. Some of you will be interviewing with Angel, and some of you will be interviewing both of us, because we have we have two guests that we're going to interview at that time. So it'd be fair for it to be 2-on-2, and we can talk about, you know, the opposite of, you know, men and women and different so forth. And this is our way of showcasing and highlighting women in the industry doing the things that you're doing, whatever it may be. We're going to showcase you. We're going to highlight you. We're going to honor you and show respect to you. And this is our way of giving back as well. So ladies, please get into our DMs. Let us know if you want to be a part of it. I sent it out on Instagram. So definitely let us know how you feel about that. Excuse me, I had to clear my throat. But again, that is Queen and the Poet. That is a special segment that is coming to season three. We're excited about that. We always love to showcase the beautiful queens out there. And we're grateful for each and every one of you for tuning in to Miss Talks. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So with that said, this has been Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your host, Angel and Walter LeRae. I am the poet, Walter LeRae, and that is my dope co-host,
Angel.
And sorry again, Angel, I had to pull you from vacation so we can start season three, because so much in the world is happening, but it's good to be back on the mic with you, sir.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
With that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to spread these two fingers apart, and I'm going to shake a deuce at ya. Peace. Thank you for tuning in to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Andrew and Walter LeRae. If you would like to be a part of our show, or if you have any suggestions and topics that you would like us to speak on, please feel free to reach us at MissTalksPodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram. Just search Miss Talks Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Let the journey begin.